By the time Annabeth made it to the West 4th Street station, she was cranky and exhausted and just wanted to catch the F train uptown to Percy's place. It was too late for the movie, but maybe they could get dinner or something? Then she spotted the monster. Annabeth had seen some crazy stuff before, but this beastie definitely made her "what were the gods thinking" list. It looked like a lion and a wolf lashed together, wedged butt first into a hermit crab shell. The shell was a rough brown spiral, like a waffle cone, about 6 feet long with a jagged seam down the middle, as if it had been cracked in half, then glued back together. Sprouting from the top were the forelegs and head of a gray wolf on the left, a golden maned lion on the right. The two animals didn't look happy about sharing a shell. They dragged it behind them down the platform, weaving left and right as they tried to pull in different directions. They snarled at one another in irritation. Then both of them froze and sniffed the air. Commuters streamed past. Most maneuvered around the monster and ignored it. Others just frowned or looked annoyed. Annabeth had seen the mist in action many times before, but she was always amazed by how the magical veil could distort mortal vision, making even the fiercest monster look like something explainable. A stray dog, or maybe a homeless person wrapped in a sleeping bag. The monster's nostrils flared. Before Annabeth could decide what to do, both heads turned and glared directly at her. The world of serial killers is like a muddy pond. The further in we wade, the darker the waters become. For true crime enthusiasts, serial killers represent the epitome of evil. Their minds are dark and frightening places, and as much as we want to understand them, we come to the realization that we never will. Attempting to truly understand the motivations and actions of serial criminals is simply not possible unless you think like they do. I, for one, hope that I never really do understand them. It is perhaps this mystery that keeps us coming back. It is that undefinable darkness that sends a chill down our spine when we hear the whisper, "they think it's a serial killer." In this book, we started by looking into how law enforcement shaped their investigation into serial killers, the specific tools they use, and how those techniques have improved over the years. The more we learn about how serial killers ordinarily behave and how they commit their crimes, the more likely we are to be able to catch them quicker. That is the real goal, isn't it? He stopped by the church office the next day to get her name. The secretary and the minister had nothing but good things to say about Martha. Worried that maybe she wouldn't accept him, being short and bald, he hesitated to call on her. He waited until it settled down after the holiday to stop by the church to talk with her. He peeked in, and there she was, polishing the pews again, just like before. It was almost comical. "Hi, Martha. I'm Peter Abbott. I met you a few weeks ago when I brought a box of candy for the children at Christmas time." He chuckled. "You were polishing the same pews." "Oh, I do remember you. You wore a wool cabbie hat. Did you have a good Christmas?" she asked, hoping to continue the conversation. "Pretty good. I was so busy at the store that I forgot to slow down and enjoy the holiday. How about you?"
"It was a good Christmas, better than most," she replied with delight in her voice.
"I would like to call on you sometime. Would that be okay with you?"
"I would like that very much," she said slowly, trying to be reserved and proper.
"How about tomorrow night?" he asked. "I'll meet you at your house around 6:30. Where do you live?" There was no attempt to make small talk. He was too nervous. He had a goal, which he achieved, and did not want to complicate it by saying something that might offend her.
"I live 2 blocks from here, on the same side of the street," Martha said with a smile. "It's the white house, with blue shutters."
"I know just where that is," he said. "My aunt lives just 2 doors down from that house."
"Really? Could that be my neighbor, Sally Abbott?" she asked.
"Yes," he said.
"She's my favorite neighbor," she said.
"If you are as nice as she is, I'm glad I had an opportunity to meet you."